Sri Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raghunatha Ki Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Navadvip Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Gangamayi Ki Jamunamayi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan Ki Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the second canto, chapter 2, text number 7, entitled The Lord in the Heart. You know, if you want to take it,
sure.
The other book.
Yeah.
Kas tam
tu
anavritya
paranuchintam
pashun
asatim
nama
kuryat
pasyan
janam
patitam
vaitaramyam
Swakarmajan
Varitapan
Jushanam
Kastan Panatritya Paranuchintam
Kastan Panatritya Paranuchintam
Kastan Panatritya Paranuchintam
Kastan Panatritya Paranuchintam
Rite Pashuna Satim Nama Kurya
Rite Pashuna Asatim Nama Kuryat
Rite Pashuna Satim Nama Kuryat
Rite Pashuna Nabitim Nama Kuryat
Pashyan Janam Patitam Vaitaranyam
Pashyan Janam Patitam Vaitaranyam
Pashyan Janam Patitam Vaitaranyam
Pashyan Janam Patitam Vaitaranyam Svakarmajan paritapan jushanam
Svakarmajan
paritapan jushanam
Kastam tvanadritya paranuchintam
Kastam tvanadritya paranuchintam
Rite pashuna satim nama kuryat
Rite pashuna satim nama kuryat Asyam janam patitam vaitaranyam
Svakarma
jan patitapan jushanam
Kala.
Who else?
Tam.
That.
Tu.
But.
Anadritya.
By neglecting.
Para anuchitya.
Tam. Transcendental thoughts.
Vite.
Without.
Sasun.
materialists. Asatim in the non-permanent. Nama. Name. Puriyat will adopt. Pasyan.
Seeing definitely.
Janam. The general mass of people. Patitam. Fallen. Vaitaranyam. Vaitarani.
The river of
suffering.
Swakarmajana.
Produced from one's own work. Paripasam. Suffering. And Jushanam. Being overtaken by. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Who else but the gross materialists will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only? Seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as the consequence of accruing the results of their own work. Purport. In the Vedas, it is said that persons who are attached to demigods to the exclusion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like the animals who follow the herdsmen even though they are taken to the slaughterhouse. The materialists, like animals, also do not know how they are being misdirected by neglecting the transcendental thought of the Supreme Person. No one can remain vacant of thought. It is said that an idle brain is a devil's workshop, because a person who cannot think in the right way must think of something which may bring about disaster. The materialists are always worshipping some minor demigods. Although this is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20, as long as a person is illusioned by material gains, he petitions the respective demigods to draw some particular benefit, which is, after all, illusory and non-permanent. The enlightened transcendentalist is not captivated by such illusory things. Therefore, he is always absorbed in this transcendental thought of the Supreme Person in different stages of realization, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In the previous verse, it is suggested that one should think of the Supersoul, which is one step higher than the impersonal thought of Brahman. As it was suggested in the case of contemplating the Virat Rupa of the Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons who can see properly may look into the general conditions of the living entities who are wandering in the cycle of the 8,400,000 species of life, as well as in the different classes of human beings. It is said that there is an everlasting belt of water called the river Vaitarani at the entrance of the plutonic planets of Yamaraj, who punishes sinners in different manners. After being subjected to such suffering, a sinner is awarded a particular species of life according to his deeds in the past. Such living entities are punished by Yamaraj are seen in different varieties of conditioned life. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them are in hell. Some of them are Brahman, and some of them are misers. But no one is happy in this material world, and all of them are either class A, B, or C prisoners, suffering because of their own deeds. The Lord is impartial to all circumstances of the suffering of the living entities, but to one who has taken shelter at his lotus feet, the Lord gives proper protection, and he takes such a living entity back home, back to Godhead.
Who else but the gross materialist will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only, seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as a consequence of curing the results of their own work? Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Emilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Who here thinks that there's happiness in this world? One time I was sitting in a class and Tamal Krishnamurti asked this question. He said, who here thinks that there's any enjoyment here? And there was a few people, there was some new people, and some people put up their hands and said, yes, there is possibility of happiness here. And then he went on to speak extensively how this world is nothing but suffering. So who can prove, anybody in this room can prove that there's some happiness here? There is actually a little bit, because what would keep people going? It's like the deer running after the mirage in the desert, the false hope of water. It seems, it appears that there's water there. Sometimes you see in the highway, when it's very hot, you see the reflection of water in the highway. But then you approach it and it disappears. It goes further ahead. So that's like the mirage in the desert with the deer. He's always thinking, he's pursuing that mirage of apparent water. But what happens to him? Ultimately, he dies of thirst because there is no happiness, there is no water, there is no satisfaction. So that's what happens. Does anybody know anybody who has not seen their contemporaries or their elders leave the body? Has anybody seen anybody leave the body? Anybody witnessed that? Put up their hand. Those who have witnessed it. It's a very interesting pastime. One time when I was thrown in jail, first time I was a devotee for about 1 month, and we were doing Harinam, and some man made a complaint that we were obstructing traffic on the street. So the police wrote a summons, and the name that was on the summons was mine. Right? I was on the party, so the police came to me and said, you're obstructing traffic, what's your name? So we get a letter in the mail at the temple, and I had to appear in court. And the temple had no money, so we had no lawyer. So I go to the court, and I'm sitting in front of the judge. And the judge says, so what do you have to say? This man said that you were blocking his traffic and you were obstructing him and you did this. And I said, well, we weren't doing that, Your Honor. Actually, I can recollect the situation very clearly, and he's making a false statement against us. So anyways, the judge, he decided that the other man was correct and that we were guilty. So he said, you have 3 months in jail. And I look at him and I think, I have 3 months in jail. So my first night in the jail, I'm sitting in this big room, like about maybe a little bigger than this, with 40 other criminals. This is the worst jail in Toronto. It's called the Don Jail. It's notorious. Right? It's like Tihar Jail in Delhi. So I'm sitting in this room with 40 criminals. They're all looking at me, and they're telling me, we're going to get you. And I'm looking at them and thinking, Krishna, somehow or other, you're going to have to protect me here. So I wouldn't sleep on the bed. I slept on the floor. I wouldn't eat anything. I wouldn't touch any water, nothing. So they were, you know, the next day the warden comes and he says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "They put me in jail because of this." And he looks at me and he says, "They're crazy. Why did they put you here?" I said, "Yeah, I agree with you. They're crazy, but I'm here." And he said, "I'll cut a deal with you. You do this, I'll give you your own room, I'll give you vegetarian food, and, you know, all, everything, and even books." But while that night, before I got the next morning came, there was one man who was smoking a cigarette, and he started to have an attack, an asthmatic attack, and he fell on the floor. Actually, he was about this far away from leaving his body. Nobody knew what to do. Everybody was just standing there, like, looking at him. And then after a few minutes, the guards came. They got him, sat him back up on the seat. And within 5 minutes, again, he was smoking a cigarette, just after coming this close to leaving his body. So that was my first lesson in how strong the material energy is, how intense it is, that a person comes this far away from leaving his body due to a particular activity, and within 10 minutes after that, so forgetful, the material energy is so strong, he forgets that whole thing and lights up a cigarette again, the same cause, the cause that caused him to collapse or to come near death. So how powerful Mamamaya is, my material energy. Don't underestimate it. Don't think that it can be easily overcome. Oh, if I worship this demigod, maybe I will get some relief. I will get some pleasure here. So, you see, in Vrindavan, now so many temples, Mayavadi temples have come up, and they're all presenting different devatas. What are the favorite devatas? Lakshmi, number one. Saraswati, Ganesh, Surya, Shiva. These are the ones that we can approach, their thinking, the materialist is thinking, to get some material benediction. So they're coming all the way. Lifetimes together. How many lifetimes they've spent getting to the point where they can actually step foot in Braj. Not an easy thing to do. Right? And they come all the way to Braj to do what? To worship some devata. For what? New car? New television? A nice partner in life? More money in the bank? Better education? Whatever. Whatever they want. Janma svaya sruti shibir, eramana madhapama. We want these all of the, what did Mahaprabhu say in relationship to that? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundaram, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. He didn't want what? Dhanam, janam. All of these things are a disqualification. We're aspiring for these things, it's a disqualification for devotional service, pure devotional service, prema bhakti. So why is it that the mind is constantly filled up with these things? Because we have been harboring these desires for millions and millions and millions of births. So the mind, if it's not fully engaged, if it's not like the cup that's full of milk, then what will enter in? Some other substance, ink or whatever. So the mind must be constantly full, preoccupied with thoughts of Krishna. What's the easiest way to do that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. There is no other way in Kali Yuga. There is no other process as powerful as the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. or Govinda, or Gopal, or Shyamasundar, or Radha Vallabha, or Jagannath, Mahaprabhu, Gauranga, Gauranga. Gauranga is the most favorable name. Why? No aparad. No aparad against the name of Gauranga. In Kali Yuga, it's a special benediction that the name of Gauranga can be taken without offense. So one takes the name of Gauranga, then Nitai Gaur, then he can advance very, very quickly. And therefore Srila Prabhupada wanted us to take the name of the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, before we begin to chant our japa. One time, one of the sannyasis, he introduced the chanting of the Panchatattva mantra on beads. And Srila Prabhupada became very disturbed by that. He said, I did not authorize that. Because sometimes we think we have a better idea than the acharya. So we introduce so many different concepts. But Mahaprabhu took the holy name. The Maha Mantra. That's why it's called the Maha Mantra. Because it's the great mantra. We should be riding on the mantra. Right? It's like the body is the yantra. So we should be driving the yantra with the mantra. And the mantra is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So what is one of the best ways to constantly remember Krishna, to collectively come together and perform Nama Sankirtan. Right? Because one person may be a little bit tired, not so enthusiastic, but another person in the group will be enthusiastic. He will give, by his association, you will become enthusiastic. Or maybe you're saying, well, listen, I don't want to go out today. Just like today, Naveen is going out on book distribution. So we should try to utilize that opportunity, because following that example, meaning when you go out and you have the book in your hand and you're presenting it to somebody else, what are you doing? You're telling them about Krishna. You're presenting Krishna to them in the form of the book. So what is the mind thinking about Krishna? What is the goal of life? To think about Krishna, right? Constantly. Sada. Constantly to hear, to remember Krishna. Means, so if we make this activity of Sankirtan one of the pillars of our devotional life, then we'll always be able to remember Krishna. And we should keep the association with those who are doing that, because they will help us remember Krishna. So we won't get diverted into the activities of the... Here it is very interesting. It says pashun, materialists. So the word pashu means what? Animal. So dvipada pashu means that what we are doing is when we are approaching the two-legged animals, we are trying to bring them to their proper constitutional position to remind themselves of who they are. Jivara Swarupai Krishna Aranitha Das, that they are eternal servant of Krishna. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jayamaya, Pisachira. Pisa, the witch, right? Maya is like a witch. What does a witch do? What did Putana do? Putana was a witch, right? She disguised herself in the form of a very beautiful woman, even so beautiful that Mother Yasoda could not detect her. Mother Yasoda, Krishna's mother, could not understand the motivation of this person. How captivating she must have been. So that illusion, and what does Putana represent? The false guru, the charlatan guru, the charlatan meditator, right? Vrindavan is full of them. Vrindavan, every street corner, there's one. And they have all the trappings, right? They have all the trappings of the sadhu. So in India, people respect the red cloth, the shaved head, the markings, right? As sadhu. But what is the motive? Like the other day we were talking about, Srila Prabhupada was talking in the purport about these so-called sadhus who are simply just interested in filling their bellies. So in Vrindavan you can see sometimes they go, there's like 200 of them, all dressed in the red cloth, and they're all going to a particular bandara. Bandara for feeding the sadhus. So they go and fill their belly, and then they go and smoke their bidi and do all their nonsense, whatever else they're doing, and people think they're feeding the sadhus. But these people, they're all 90% of them are Mayavadis. 90% are Mayavadi. So why is the person who's thinking he's God have to go and beg? Can you tell me that? So anyways, this illusion of the false guru, the false teacher, this is representative by Putana. And even Krishna, when she came to offer her breast with the poison on it, he closed his eyes. Why did he close his eyes? Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, for two reasons. One, the acharyas comment on this. They say that he closed his eyes because he didn't want to look on the face of Putana, who was coming as a mother. So he knew he was going to kill her. Right? So he didn't want to look on the face of this woman. And also he didn't want to allow her to see in his eyes that he understood who she was and that he was going to kill her. So two points there. So the false guru, he can only be killed by what? Real knowledge. Jnana dipena basvata. This real knowledge of real jnana. That means the words of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita. Glorification of Allah Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if we want to dispel the ignorance that is within us and within others, we have to regularly nasta praeshu bhadreshu nittam bhagavata sevaya. We have to regularly serve the Bhagavatam by hearing. Shravanam kirtanam, shravanam, to hear. First principle, to hear. Constantly to hear. Then kirtanam, to glorify, to chant. So when we go out, we should, when we present these literatures to people, we should explain what is in the literatures to these people. We shouldn't have some fast line. You know, sometimes, remember in the early days in book distribution, sometimes the devotees would come up with these really outrageous lines. It had nothing to do with the Bhagavatam. So people would take the book thinking it was something else. Right? Maybe it was, you know, some rock music or whatever. Right, they would say it. They had so many different lines. And then the person would open the book and look at it and think, what have I just gotten? I've been cheated here. And then they would discard the book. So It is better that we present, first principle, satyam, truthfully, what these books are, and glorify the knowledge within these books by explaining it to people according to the capacity of the person that we're giving it to, according to their level of their ability to comprehend what we're saying. Because if they're meat eaters, you can't go very far, because they're the only ones. The cow killers are restricted from understanding this knowledge. So how do we break the barrier? By first giving them a little prasad. feed the animal. And wake them up with the holy name. Hare Krishna. Where are you going? Hare Krishna. Stop. Hare Krishna. What? Because that sound vibration is going directly to the soul. It's waking them up. What did you say? Krishna. What? Krishna. Can you say it? Can you say this? Hare Krishna. Can you repeat that again, please? Hare Krishna. So you remind them. So then you're reminding yourself. And then what's your consciousness full of? The name of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Right. So, Kirtaniya Sadahari. But not in a very humble way. Because Krishna is there in their heart. And we must see that. Within the heart of every living entity, Krishna is there. So we must respect that and give them the proper respect. Govinda. There's a very nice pastime. Does anybody know the deity that is on with Radha Govinda in Jayapur? There's one particular very, very special deity there that is at the base of the feet of Radha Govinda. Has anybody been to Jayapur here? You've been to Jayapur, you've been to Jayapur. Three or four. It's a very interesting temple, isn't it? The bhav that the residents of Jayapur have for Govinda is difficult to find anywhere in the universe. They have such spontaneous attraction for Govinda. Every day, Mangal Arati, there's no less than a few thousand people from Mangal Arati. Nobody's there with the board, right? No, there's no authority saying if you didn't show up. It's a natural attraction that's been going on there since Govinda has come to Jayapur and taken shelter, and the king facilitated Govindaji. It took 70 years for Govinda to come from Vrindavan to Jayapur. Did you know that? 70 years. Because when the Mughals were invading Vrindavan, right, Govinda is not a small deity. He's huge. So they took him from town to town and they hid him wherever he was so they wouldn't be found. Now ultimately, he was taken to Jayapur and he was given shelter there in the king's palace. That deity that's at the feet of Radha Govinda is called, does anybody know? It was given by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, because Rupa Goswami had requested Lord Chaitanya to come from Puri to have darshan of Govindaji. But Mahaprabhu couldn't come. So he sent a deity of himself. And that deity's name is called Gaur Govinda. And it was taken by Kashyapa Pandit. And he was the first Pracharya of Govindadev. Very beautiful deity. He is in a golden form. And he's Sri Bangala Mahaprabhu with a flute in Sri Bangala form. Very wonderful pastime. Anyways, the inhabitants of Jayapur are very extremely fortunate and extremely devoted. Extremely devoted. And if you ever go there, they're very accommodating, very friendly. The head pujari of Govinda temple is very, very favorable to devotees. And if you request, they'll give you darshan right up front, right? And you'll get prasad and some pan, Govinda's pan. Govinda, the lover of the cows. Right? And some this year they made a request in Vrindavan that Govinda would come back to Vrindavan from it was a plea. But I think that's transcendental competition. Right? Srila Prabhupada, he was very expert at establishing transcendental competition between temples. So I think this temple is going to have to compete with ISV in San Jose, because they just opened up Varshasekhar's temple there, and they had 4,000 people for Janmashtami. So this temple had 6,000. Right? So you're going to have to do a lot of preaching. Because next year, I'm sure that they're going to have minimum 6,000 to 8,000 people. So you're going to have 10 to 12. Right? And they have a program there. They distribute a whole set of books, Bhagavatams, plus Chaitanya Charitamritas, all of Prabhupada's books, plus Madanga, Kartel, and Gornitai deities for $1,008. So that program should be instituted everywhere. Vaisheshika, we had the good fortune of associating with him for many years on the BBT party. And he was like, he joined the movement when he was like 16 years old. And he joined in San Francisco, and then he joined the Sankirtan, the BBT party. And he was like the kid next door, this big boy with a big smile and so much enthusiasm. And he used to distribute books like anything, and he's still doing that. And he's inspiring people all over the world to do that same activity. He's a very, very dear soul to Srila Prabhupada. So we should find and follow in the footsteps of such great personalities. He's an advocate of reading one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day without fail. And he, at every opportunity, he will sit down with the devotees wherever he is and just open up a book and start reading. So the impressions that are coming from that, the encouragement that is coming from that, enables him to have the strength to continue on with this activity day after day, year after year, decade after decade. And I'm sure that janme janme Prabhu se, birth after birth, in his next birth he'll be out there wherever Srila Prabhupada is distributing the Bhagavatam, whether it's in this universe or another universe. Or because actually the devotee, Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee has no aspiration to actually go back to Godhead. His only aspiration is actually to serve wherever the spiritual master is. So wherever his spiritual master is, he wants to be there and serve. So Srila Prabhupada is somewhere in this material world, this Brahman, somewhere he's preaching Krishna consciousness. And simultaneously, he's there in Golok. So they have the potency to be in both places simultaneously. Right? Prabhupada was He never, when he was asked, when was, by some reporter, when was the first time that you remembered Krishna? Prabhupada said, I never forgot Krishna. And that's a fact. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, actually, his lineage, his gotra, his lineage is directly connected with the followers of Lord Nityananda. Dave Tracy, one of my godbrothers who lives in Jayapur, traced out Prabhupada's lineage, and he comes directly in the line of worshippers of Lord Nityananda all the way back. So he was coined an avesh of Nityananda, empowered by Lord Nityananda to spread this Krishna consciousness movement to the Pashyans, to the materialist animals, animal killers. Right? One time, that point came out in Chicago. They had made a cow out of chocolate and put him on Govardhan Hill. And Prabhupada became very disturbed by that. He said, you want to eat the cow? Right? How can you even think of that? So Prabhupada was so sensitive to this particular point. Govinda. Anyways, the purpose is to always stay in connection with divinity. We're not in the line of renunciation, and we're not in the line of exploitation. We're in the line of dedication. Dedication means 24/7. So whatever activity we engage in, we should be utilizing all our potential in Krishna's service, because it is His anyways. Do you have anything? Do you own anything? When you leave your body, where will it be? It will be here. Everything stays here. Right? No, but we cannot take one atom with us. It's gone. So, therefore, we should realize this particular point and dedicate everything to the service of Krishna. And that way, we will become peaceful, satisfied, anand. We will experience that happiness. That is our birthright. So, yesterday was Ekadasi. And today is Dwadasi, and that means everybody's probably hungry. And if we have observed Paran, do you observe Paran here? There's a Paran Titi here also, where you break Ekadasi by a certain time? What time is that? Huh? Okay, so we're still within the time limit. Okay. In Vrindavan they have, after Guru Puja, they distribute. If it's within the Paran time, they distribute grains on them. But at one time, it was interesting because I asked one of my godbrothers, because we were having some debate about Ekadasi, about Paran times, about Ekadasis, because sometimes you'll see in Vrindavan, the Brijvasis or the residents are observing Ekadasi on one day and we're observing it on another. So I was trying to understand, based on the calculations of Surya Siddhanta, what is the proper time to break Ekadasi, or when Ekadasi actually takes place, how you mathematically calculate it. So we were going into all of these different formulas. And then I looked at him and I said, you know, in your experience with Srila Prabhupada, in the world, in his preaching, was he that fanatical about Ekadasi, about, you know, the exact time, this, that, and the other? And he said no. So all of this, all the differences, but actually what Prabhupada said, he said, in Mayapur, if there's some confusion, you follow what they do in the yoga pit. Right? Because that particular calculation is taken after something called PM Bhakshi, which was the book that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used. And Bhaktisiddhanta, who actually translated and commented on Suryasiddhanta with all the mathematical calculations, said even if there is a difference between what Bhaktivinoda said and what Suryasiddhanta said, he said, we go with the Acharya, meaning Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So however Srila Prabhupada managed things, that's the way we go. Because he's our Acharya. And he will be for the next 10,000 years here. That's the Shiksha Guru Parampara. Just like Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Baladev Vijayabhushan, there's a 200-year gap. There's no direct link. There's no direct link. That's called the Shiksha Guru Parampara. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta specifically put this parampara intact for a particular purpose, because each one of our acharyas has contributed something very significant to the line. So they are the prominent, they are like the great generals. There's five great generals: Napoleon, Hannibal, Alexander the Great, Hitler, right? Which people may not, but the Blitzkrieg, Napoleon, the Napoleonic chair, Hannibal, the elephants, right? Alexander the Great, the long sword, the long spears, right? So these were considered great generals, but in between them, so many other generals have been there. So that's like our Diksha Guru Parampara and Shiksha Guru Parampara. The Shiksha Guru Parampara is these prominent acharyas who have contributed something very substantial to divinity. Like telescope, one lens, another lens, a little more clear, another lens more clear, another lens more clear, another lens more clear. So the conception of divinity becomes more clarified with each one of these particular great acharyas. That's called the Shiksha Guru Parampara. That's our parampara. So sometimes the Babas in Radha Kund, they say, you have no Diksha lineage. It's broken. Therefore, your mantram is not right. So they will claim like that. And those who are less intelligent will become bewildered by them. Because the mantram passes down from the acharyas through the Diksha Gurus. And the clarification of the mantra comes from the Shiksha. So Srila Prabhupada's books are like 24 karat gold. So everything, once you have 24 karat gold, you can compare it to everything else. If you have 18 karat gold, 21 karat gold, 9 karat gold, you know by the comparison. But this is 24 karat gold. This is the standard. So the acharyas, they have given the standard. And Srila Prabhupada is a preeminent acharya in Kali Yuga, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So if you read these books, try to discuss these topics within these literatures, your conception of divinity will become very, very clear. And the misconceptions will be dispelled. And when you present this book to somebody else, you will have full confidence that when you give them this book, that their misconceptions will be dispelled. So that confidence you must have, and that confidence comes from taking shelter of these literatures and trying to follow them to the best of our ability. So I'll end here. Is there any questions? These are very interesting topics. Guru Tattva is a very, very intense topic. Nam Tattva is another intense topic. How the deity is none different than Krishna. That is a very intense topic. These topics have to be very clearly understood in the heart of every devotee. And they're very dynamic also. They're dynamic. They're not static. They're dynamic principles. And as we become more purified, then we'll become more clear in regards to these things. We should put a sign on the altar. We don't come, darshan means that the deity sees you. You come before the deity to be seen by the deity. That is darshan. Krishna is there. So when we come before the deity, we should understand that he's seeing us, he's watching us. So we should behave in a manner that's appropriate to that. If Krishna is walking, is in the room with us, then how should we behave? So the reality of deity worship, that's a whole... Sanatana Goswami was speaking with his deity. The deity was speaking with him. So the acharyas, they are showing us. Srila Prabhupada, when he would come before the deity, he would immediately understand what was going on in the temple. Because Krishna would tell him. Who else but the gross materialist will neglect such transcendental thought? And take to the non-permanent names only. Seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as the consequence of accruing the result of their own work. Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's darshan. Relationship between the in the spiritual master is not God. He is God's representative. And whatever Krishna wants to tell him, he will know. Don't confuse the spiritual master with God. That's Mayavad. He is not God. We honor him as much as God, but he is not God. There's a difference. Sachincha Veda Veda, simultaneously one but different. So there's a particular Shakti that works through the spiritual master. And that potency, that is Krishna. But the individual there, he is different from Krishna. He's an eternal servant of Krishna. Is that clear? Okay. So whatever the spiritual, when you come before the spiritual master, we honor him as much as we would honor God. But never confuse some. I have God brothers who actually are confused about that. They think that Prabhupada's God. Right? But it's not a fact. And Prabhupada became very disturbed when his disciples put him in that level. He actually threw them out in New Vrindavan. There was three or four sannyasis and they had to leave New Vrindavan. They were creating such a disturbance by saying that Prabhupada is God. He became very disturbed. But they were brought back after, but they were heavily chastised and shown, Prabhupada showed the general devotee population that this is not the right Siddhanta. Is there something else? Okay, then say it again.
You answered it already.
I answered. No. You come before the spiritual master, and how many books did you distribute today? And you think he knows already before you tell him? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, you have some particular service that you're doing, or something that's going on, and you want to relate that to the spiritual master, but you come before him and you don't say anything. No, you have to tell him. Like Srila Prabhupada gave the example that there is something going on in the temple. How is he to know? Right? Does he know what's going on with all his disciples? Prabhupada said, the temple president is there. They will tell me. In other words, Prabhupada has his, it's weird. Practical. Krishna consciousness is something very practical. There's also the mystical side there, but we shouldn't be, waiting for the mystical side all the time. The practical side has to be, I'm waiting here for some mystical revelation before I, do my service. Okay? Krishna's got to appear before me and tell me. In other words, we come and we explain. That's how the spiritual master realizes, because Krishna is speaking through you too. He's revealing to him what is going on. Two ways. Right? It's a personal relationship. My experience is that they would always ask, and they always would be curious to know what is going on. What is going on in the temple? What is going on with the devotees? If we were buying some place, or the books were being printed with a particular publisher, a printer. Prabhupada was asking questions all the time. Questions, 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 non-stop questions. What is this? What is that? And so therefore he was gathering the information. So it's the intelligence. But sometimes when I was in New York, it was a very, very interesting experience I had. It was with Vaisheshika, actually. We were going somewhere, and we were in Port Authority, and we were thinking, should we go here, or should we go there? And there was two people walking the other way. We were going this way, and they were having a conversation, totally unrelated to our conversation. But the person said something, "No, we should go over there." And I heard that. It was like Krishna answering through that person. No, go there. So we went there, right, and did the books, and it was good. So sometimes the environment can be, Krishna can work in the different ways. Just like, you know what a tiki tik is in Vrindavan? You know the lizards? So when you say something and it's confirmed, the tiki tik makes a sound. That's a confirmation of what you said is right. Right? Or if a cow moves, right? You're talking and you're saying something and the cow moves, another confirmation. Or if the peacock cries, it's another confirmation. So these are all different signs in the environment. So subtle signs. Or if you're having a conversation with somebody and there's dogs that are fighting, then you can know, okay, you have to be careful. It could end up into be a, you know, a bit of a contest here. Right? So all of these things, these are different. This is science, actually. And that's explained in Brahma Samhita, in the 64 arts. Different clues of the environment. How we should be able to read them. Any other questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Prabhupada Ki Go Premanam.